Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Just tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Great to have you guys all with us. I hope you had a blessed week. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening probably on your commute, many of you, to this episode. And many of you probably didn't check the website to find out that we had some technical, still continuation of the technical difficulties with the customer service from Shoutcast that hadn't gotten back to me yet in time for us to get this streaming situation taken care of. So I'm going to be lighting a fire under them this week and getting that taken care of so we can be streaming on Sunday nights and get back to how it's supposed to be. And you're listening to the podcast version of this uploaded Sunday night. So I'm just continuing on with the show anyway, just recording it and then getting it uploaded. So that's what happened this week. So we want to get that back up and going for you guys. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support, your letters of encouragement. As always, just such a huge blessing. As you can probably imagine, we've taken a really big hit, financially. And then there's some other stuff going on, like, my truck broke down twice. That was not planned and budgeted in. So anyway, man, I'll tell you, if you find Radio Free Redoubt to be a blessing, and maybe you've never supported us before, just one time, just $20, $25, PayPal, or you can just put it in and you send it to our drop mail. Any amount right now, just be a nice little shot in the arm. It'd be very helpful at this point, just till we get our feet back under us and back up and running. So thank you guys for considering that. And let's just get right into it. There's a bunch of stuff I want to cover tonight. Of course, news and commentary. News and commentary brought to you by 299 Days, the book series. All 10 books out. Those are from our great author and friend, Glenn Tate. So if you have not started reading that, by the way, the last book is titled The 43 Colonels. I'm one of the colonels in that that's mentioned. And that was pretty cool. That was very humbling, very kind of embarrassing. But it was just really cool. It was a great nod from Glenn. Some people that he's just really been influenced by and looked up to and helped him along the way that he actually is convinced is going to play all of the colonels. He believes, you know, they're all real people and that they are going to play a very significant role one day in the rebuilding. And so it was pretty cool. But it's a great story. And it's book one is all true. It wasn't fiction. He changed some names, kind of told his own story. And then the collapse hits and then there the fiction takes off. So really great. I know a lot of folks really like those. Okay. Let's talk about Venezuela. And you guys, we've been talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and things like this for quite a while. I'm a big advocate, which also is another way that you can help support Radio Free Redoubt. If you want to do that completely anonymously, we accept Bitcoin, Ethereum, and It's on our website under donate, the donate tab. Anyway, Venezuelans, check this out. They're using Bitcoin mining to stay ahead of inflation. Pretty cool article. It's actually posted by yahoo.com, and we'll get that posted for you guys to go and check that out. But here's another one. Now, these are people, I'm sure the government doesn't like people doing that. because they can't control it. Really drives them nuts. Well, the Russians are trying. Remember we just talked about, a month ago, China is saying no cryptocurrency allowed. It's going to be banned. Well, Russia did that too a couple years ago. And then all of a sudden they had this great epiphany because they realized they can't control it. And they said, we love it. Everybody should use cryptocurrency. In fact, the Russian government now has become the very first government in the world to endorse and offer its own cryptocurrency. It's called the crypto ruble. It made its debut this last week following months of speculation that the Kremlin would do so. This is from Forward Observer. The Forward Observer Intelligence, Sam Culper, you guys are all familiar with. If you're not, go to forwardobserver.com. Forward Observer Magazine. It used to be FOMag.com. What is... I don't have the website right in front of me. I just pulled this article from the email that I got because I subscribed to it. And one of the PIRs, Priority Intelligence Requirements, what are new indicators of systems disruptions that could lead to instability, civil unrest, or violence? Well, one of the system disruptions that they highlighted this week was the Russians developing their own cryptocurrency. This is just the way things are going. This is the wave of the future. And I think you're going to see this digital currency, cryptocurrency, ones that they will try to control. And there are at least 100, maybe 200 types of cryptocurrencies. And so they figure out how to start their own cryptocurrency. But I'll post that in the highlights and resources posting for today's show. And let's go over to Hungary. The last Christian nation left on Earth, I think. America is running away from its Christian heritage and roots. Well, Hungary, in 2012, they redid their constitution, and they established themselves as a Christian nation. I've read their constitution before, the preamble, on the show here many times before, or several times, and it's a beautiful thing. Well, this is where the evil George Soros is from. Now, they've basically treated him as an enemy of the state. Multi-billionaire Soros, though, he's dumped $18 billion into his foundation. And the folks in Hungary are thinking that he is getting ready to declare a more communist nation toppling warfare against Hungary. He just hates anything that's Christian or Jewish. And he's Jewish. He's Jewish. You know, that's how he started out, World War II. He was helping the Nazis. He's a Jew. And he's helping the Nazis sell off the Jews' personal belongings. Sifting through stuff. Selling it off. Well, he said, it was going to get done anyway. So, I did it to save my own skin. Piece of garbage. Anyway. Yeah. So, Hungary. They are being targeted now by one of Satan's minions, Soros. It's a little closer to home here. The Air Force now has recalled as many as 1,000 retired pilots to address a serious shortage of pilots. After the previous administration, the president, which will not be named, downsized and gutted our military. Now they're needing pilots. Why? Because, they're getting ready to go to war, because we actually have a president now who takes national defense seriously. And that takes us to this article. I picked this up off a Soldier of Fortune magazine, but it's actually, I think it came from DefenseOne.com first. But nuclear bombers now are going to be put back on 24-hour alert. This just came out today, this afternoon. U.S. preparing to put nuclear bombers on 24-hour alert from Defense One. There it is. They are getting a lot of their B-52s ready. And what are they saying here? If the order, which has not yet been given, comes, the B-52s will return to a ready-to-fly posture not seen since the Cold War. Well, since the last Cold War. If you think we're not in a Cold War now, so close. I mean, we've got a lot of, the USS Ronald Reagan, I think, super carrier just rolled into South Korea. Things are really building up over there. So one of the threats from North Korea is the EMP threat. They're saying, we're going to take you out. We're going to snuff you, and it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be so easy to do, and we're going to do it. Well, we need to start talking about that more seriously. Let's deal with the Muslim threat. Speaking of satanically influenced activities, this is from PamelaGeller.com. And this is, Muslim dad honor murdered his daughter because she was dating a non-Muslim. Where's this? Egypt? Oh, wait. Iran? No. Turkey? Oh, wait. This is in Ohio. In America. He says, if she doesn't respect me, then she'll respect this. He went up to her room, shot her with his gun. Jamal Mansour pleaded guilty. And guess what? He got 22 years. 22 years in prison with medical care and coverage and a college education if he wants it. And three hots and a cot. So you can advance Islam inside our prisons. This guy should be swinging from a rope. He got 22 years. Cold-blooded murder. Islamic murder. In America. In the heartland. Unbelievable. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we're going to talk about... what are we going to talk about when we get back here? We got a couple stories here we're going to hit. All right, stay right there. We'll be right back.
Being a patriot isn't easy. It takes work. And I see too many conservatives, even patriotic people, taking our remaining liberty for granted. Most are happy to just float along enjoying freedom. Freedoms that were hard won and fought for by others at great sacrifice. But most conservative Americans do little or nothing to keep what's left. We often hear people say we need to take back America. But if we can't even hold the line and don't stop losing ground, how can we expect to ever take anything back? Thomas Paine said, "Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it." He didn't say undergoing the fatigue of supporting it was a great idea. And he didn't say maybe we should. He said, "We must." But maybe we've come to a point where even patriotic citizens don't want to do anything that might fatigue them. If that doesn't change soon, well, one day we'll be saying, "Remember freedom? Wasn't it nice?" I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
We are an exceptional country. Our religion, and I will say it, is exceptional. That's what made us great. So don't be afraid to talk about it, because that's what it means to be an American. The world is looking to us for leadership, not President O'Brien. Us. The people in Ukraine aren't looking to the federal government. They're looking to all these local governments for leadership, and it's going to come from us. Renegade.
Welcome back to segment two. Segment two is brought to you by our friends up north by the Canadian border, Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. That Boundary County is where they're based out of, but they help people in all of the counties in northern Idaho. If you're looking for the panhandle of North Idaho and looking for a property to get strategically relocated to, then check them out. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. And they'll take really good care of you. Great folks. All right. Now, there's a story here that I there's a couple stories. We're going to talk about socialists and we're going to talk about gun control. But first, let's talk about Puerto Rico. Now, this was this caught my attention because there's this article and this letter. They're ripping on FEMA and they're inadequate and they're just cumbersome and they're just not rising to the task. And I thought, you know, yeah, absolutely. And we've been saying that for a long time, which is why we stress self-reliance, right? But then I look at the source of this. This is from the socialistworker.org. Socialistworker.org. So this is a letter from Puerto Rico in 1 month after Maria. And this is how it reads. This came out about, I don't know, about 10 days ago. By now, you have surely heard about the catastrophic impact of Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, as well as the slow and still inadequate response by U.S. federal agencies such as FEMA. So the socialists are admitting that the government might not be the answer. This is interesting. Okay, so a month after Maria, dozens of communities are still inaccessible by car or truck. Close to 90% of all homes lack electricity. Half lack running water. Many of Puerto Rico's 3.2 million residents have difficulties obtaining drinking water. The death toll continues to rise due to lack of medical attention or supplies, such as oxygen and dialysis, or from poisoning caused by unsafe water. How many times have we got to say it, people? You are responsible for yourselves. FEMA is not responsible for you. You get your butt online and go to Amazon.com and order yourself a portable water filter that'll take care of 3,000 gallons. It'll fit in your pocket. It's inexcusable. Now, back to the socialists and rant. The failures of U.S. agencies might come as no surprise. Since the federal response, including FEMA's, to other disasters such as Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans was as slow and inadequate. Yes. Yes. But see, every time there's a disaster, the response is the same. It's massively expensive. It's woefully inadequate. And it is cumbersome. And it doesn't hit the mark. They come in and take control, and then they just screw the whole thing up. And take charge and then want to arrest people who are helping other people because they're not official. Because you don't have a clipboard and a hard hat and your reflective vest. Arrest that man. All right. And the rest of you, you sit down and we'll bring some food to you in a few weeks, maybe. Now, you may have also heard President Trump state that Puerto Rico was dealing with a debt crisis before the hurricane and that its electric grid had been allowed to deteriorate. As far as they go, these statements are true. Wow, socialists admitting Trump's statements are true. But President Trump also tweeted suggestions that Puerto Rican workers are lazy and that FEMA and other agencies cannot remain in Puerto Rico forever. This spins the notion that Puerto Ricans are themselves to blame and should not expect any more handouts. Trump aims to build a wall between us, which doesn't come as much of a surprise either, by portraying us as a burden, as illegitimately claiming resources to which we have no right. So this goes on and on. But I thought this was interesting. Even the socialists are mad at the federal government's response and even admit, as far back as Hurricane Katrina, their responses have been inadequate. And there are countless examples that we've talked about. This latest hurricane and Hurricane Katrina are bookends to an entire library of documentation of FEMA and otherwise the federal government inadequately being capable of responding to help. Now, I was completely, that's a whole nother thing with the Ameron support. We still got Ameron operators we haven't heard from. We had operators monitoring the nets and the airways for days and days afterward, but with nothing coming from Puerto Rico, knowing that we got operators in Puerto Rico, we continued on with our training nets, which they know the schedule. They know if they need to reach an Ameron net to call out on those net practice frequencies with real world traffic. If I were in a situation and I knew that, you know, days and days had passed and I'm stranded in a remote place and I still can't reach anybody because maybe I had to repair my antennas or get some batteries charged up with solar panels or whatever, I know that eventually there's going to be training nets that stay on schedule, and that's how I can reach them. Here's the problem. I believe, except for one, all of them are techs. They are technician licensed local ham radio operators with no HF capabilities. And to my knowledge, no digital capabilities. That's a problem. And of course, in Amron Core, we stress that heavily and we train up digital, email, text, forms, because digital gets through when voice doesn't. The system only works if you guys are training and if you're brought up to standard and you get above and beyond the Baofeng VHF local radio capabilities. And you got to have the ability, you got to be self-reliant. You have to be able to produce your own power with solar panels. You've got to be able to repair antennas. You've got to have the equipment, the gear, and the training. You've got to get involved in the nets. I'm not aware of any of our Puerto Rican operators ever checking in to any of our practice nets. I know they're out there. And I was corresponding with one of them through email right up until the hurricane hit. So that's really bugging me that we lost somebody and I just cannot get on a helicopter and have them fly me in and put hands on and take accountability. Here's something that's just, we know it's coming. Momentum gathered in Washington last week to ban bump stocks, such as the ones used by the Las Vegas shooter, as the White House said it was open to discussion. Even the National Rifle Association said those devices should be regulated. There was a time before we lost our morality that in the United States, it was perfectly legal and recommended that you have a fully automatic capable combat rifle as part of our national defense. Before, you know, people like only the government can have because they're the only ones that are responsible. But this bump stock replaces a rifle's fixed stock and slides back and forth. So now they're going to be moving to ban bump stocks. They're always in reaction mode. These are Republicans that are coming on board with this, with Paul Ryan, saying, yeah, we need to start down the road of banning things. And they're not even, there's not even any evidence that we've seen that shows that he had 30 weapons. He didn't fire all 30 weapons. Some of the AR-15s had bump fire stocks on them. I've not seen any evidence to indicate that an AR-15 was even used. We don't know exactly. They're so quiet about all of this. This is really bugging me. But let's start banning stuff. And you know, hey, if it just saves lives, right? I mean, we've got to ban bump stocks now. And Paul Ryan said, I didn't even know what a bump stock was until today. We need to ban them. And all these other Republicans jumping on board. Yeah, we need to ban those. Whatever they said. Bump stock? Yeah, let's ban those. Why? There is no evidence that he used a bump fire stock in any of those, any of the rounds that he fired. I haven't seen it. I get stuff sent to me all the time, constantly, more than I can go through. And I'm pouring through this. I'm not seeing it. But the knee-jerk reaction without all of the information to start passing laws and implementing policies to save lives. And they're calling 59 dead, the worst shooting in U.S. history. We're not counting Waco, by the way. We're talking about a non-government person killing other people. This was the worst. 59 dead. But somebody sent me this meme. It's so It's so apropos. 59 dead, worst shooting in U.S. history. In Chicago, they call that August. At Planned Parenthood, they call it Tuesday. You want to save lives? You're looking in the wrong place. Bump fire stocks. All those people would be alive if they would have just banned bump fire stocks. And you think so, you're going to chase your tail. And you're going to try to ban them until the next shooting. And you're going to keep chasing your tail some more. Meanwhile, that many are dead in a day at Planned Parenthood. Despicable. And we're funding it. We're funding it. And our lawmakers, the blood is on their hands. Just as if they were helping load the guy, hand the guy, the shooter. If they were holding the belt, feeding the belt to his belt-fed machine gun in Las Vegas. If they were loading up magazines and handing him magazines. They're just as guilty because they refused to defund Planned Parenthood. Hypocrites. We'll be back. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. This is segment 3, Strategic Landscape Design. Our friends over there at Strategic Landscape Design are helping support us by sponsoring this segment. I want to thank you guys. If you need some help planning your property to integrate water access, food supply, security, energy production, they do a total walkthrough. That's one of the services that they provide. Just one of the services that they provide. Get the most out of your land. So they really do strive to help you achieve a life of liberty and your whole lifestyle. So check them out, strategiclandscapedesign.com. I saw this tweet. I saved it in my notes. I still have it. These protesters that were protesting in Boston in the fall. Okay, so he tweets that I applaud the many protesters in Boston who are speaking out against bigotry and hate. Like he's going to win the leftist communists over by sucking up to them. It's not going to happen. He puts, our country will soon come together as one. What? Our country is going to soon come together as one. I haven't watched football. I watched the Super Bowl last year, and that's the only football that I watched last year. I just have a hard time with bread and circuses, and I just, what that sport, I grew up on football, NFL football, Monday night football, Sunday afternoon football. Oh my gosh. I had all of the cards. I had all the playing cards, you know, the tops and the other, the bubble gum, and we were trading cards. I had like Mean Joe Green and Roger Staubach and Tony Dorsett and OJ Simpson. And man, I mean, all those, like, you know, I'm dating myself, but oh my gosh, I don't know what happened to them. I went in the army, and my parents, I think they moved and they left them in the attic of the house. I mean, they'd be worth, I don't know how much. Anyway, that's the era that I grew up in. I grew up on football. It's part of my, it's ingrained in me, and I miss it. But when I do break away and cave and watch a game, I'm like, done. I'm done for a whole year. I don't need to watch anymore. And now this is despicable. What's happening? As far as I'm concerned, they may as well just turn their backs on the flag. General John Kelly put out a tweet. I got this Twitter account. And so I follow certain people, personalities. And John Kelly put this one out. He said, Next time you see a football player with his fist clenched during the anthem, you know, they make the fist in the air, black power symbol. He said, remember what Martin Luther King Jr. thought of the movement and the symbol. This is a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. So pay attention, my brothers. The black power slogan and black power movement connotates black supremacy and anti-white feeling that does not or should not prevail. Martin Luther King. Boy, but every one of these socialist, communist-driven organizations, they love holding their marches on Martin Luther King Boulevard or whatever that every town has now. And Martin Luther King would not approve. I believe that. I believe that he would absolutely not approve. The national anthem and respecting the flag and facing the flag and putting your heart over it, taking a knee, putting your fist in the air. You stand up, you get on your feet, and you face that flag and you put your hand over the heart and you respect it. But see, the communist strategies, this is documented, the communist strategies for the last 75 years is to undermine patriotism and break down the morality of our Christian nation, our Christian heritage. Are they succeeding? You better believe it. Patriotism is being washed out. It's being called populist, nationalist. Well, populist is what the mass of the people want. And the mass of the people want what Trump had to offer. And they stood up. Oh, this is a populist movement. You better believe it. It was the nationalist movement. Darn right. Nothing wrong with being a nationalist. What's the opposite of nationalist? A globalist. I'm proud to be a nationalist. I'm proud to be a patriot. And I will refuse. I will stand up against the communist strategies. I will try to spread it to everybody that else that I can. Patriotism. But I saw this post. There's this little boy at obviously a rodeo setting, and he's got his whole, he looks like a bull rider, but he's like 4 or 5 years old. And he's got his cowboy hat and he's holding it over his heart and he's holding his chin up and his eyes are closed during the national anthem. And I saw comments by so-called conservative, no, not conservative, I would say libertarian Christians. And some of the comments were, oh, there they are, teaching them little ones to worship the state. Making kids do the national anthem or say the Pledge of Allegiance. You're teaching them to worship the state. I couldn't disagree more strongly with that thinking. I don't understand it. Let me go through the, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I do pledge allegiance. State worship? Absolutely not. Listen to the words. Allegiance. That is a commitment to be loyal and faithful to everything that flag represents, not the cloth, not the 50% polyester, 50% cotton. What it represents, it's a symbol. It's a commitment to be loyal and faithful to everything it represents, including the republic that America was. Not what it is now. Not what's happening to it now. What we see in the headlines and what you see America has become, that is not worth supporting. That is worth standing against. I'm talking about what the America, what it was founded on. But the founding principles that you and I are striving to return to for the sake of our nation, I am loyal to the Christian principles that influenced the foundation of our laws. I do pledge my allegiance to everything that that flag stands for, including the biblically inspired mechanisms of our government, the three branches, judicial, legislative, executive. The founding fathers, when asked about whether America should have a king, they responded, "We will have no king but Jesus." That was our founding fathers. And Isaiah 33:22 clearly states the Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. There's the three branches. That's where the three branches, the judicial, the legislative, and the executive, are scripturally based. None of this was by accident. He's the judge, lawgiver, and king, and there will be no king but Jesus. That's why the founding fathers insisted that statesmen holding any position within our government should be held to the highest moral principles, or our nation would perish. God makes kingdoms and nations rise and fall. Anyone who thinks America is an exception to that and happened only by coincidence and not by divine intervention is foolish and deceived. This is a God-ordained, supernaturally birthed nation, unlike any nation ever in the course of human history. Because this nation and our liberties are a gift from God, which can be snatched away as easily as it was given. They're worth defending. It is our duty to defend those principles to the bitter end. You cannot do that if you don't have allegiance toward those principles and the symbols that represent those, like our flag. It was the duty of the Israelites to defend the principles their nation was founded on, and they failed multiple times. And multiple times, God removed his hand of protection from them, and they were conquered, enslaved, oppressed. When they became patriots again, returning to God and the principles of his laws, and they recognized him as the source of their blessings and their victories, they prospered. There are many patriots, men who loved their country and who were faithful to God and to Israel all throughout the Bible. One prophet after another grieved, they wept, or they interceded for Israel. They loved Israel and its people. And they knew that it stood as a symbol of God's glory and his providence and his covenant with them. And when they rebelled, it brought shame to his name, and it also brought judgment on their nation. You think there wasn't patriotism, love of country? What is in the nation's best interest, and what is the source of that nation's prosperity? That is what we owe our allegiance to. And we should stand with it. We should stand against all the forces that work to destroy all that we've sworn to defend. For his glory and for our benefit and the benefit of unborn millions still to come, my grandchildren, your grandchildren, and we should instill in them the same love for our country and its founding principles, and especially the source of that rare and precious blessing that America rose to be, because of him. Pledging allegiance to the flag, to the symbol that encapsulates all of those ideas, is also our duty, in my humble opinion. Patriotism is our duty, not to worship the state for the sake of worshiping the state. There's only one thing worthy of our worship, but promising to always uphold those ideals represented in that flag, and continuously reminding ourselves of how fragile and precious those blessings are, and that there are dark forces scheming to destroy not that flag, not just our nation, but everything that makes up the foundation that our nation is built upon and that that flag represents. It should be an honor to pledge our loyalty, our allegiance, to forever remind ourselves or reminding ourselves and others, and to be eternally vigilant, and to be always prepared to defend with our lives and our fortunes and our sacred honor, all that makes this nation uniquely American. That flag represents the breaking free from the chains of bondage and tyranny, against religious persecution and against injustices, When I pledge allegiance to that flag, I'm promising to hold to the sentiment and the action of being duty bound to uphold what I think America was founded on. And you probably summarize that in Isaiah 1, 15 through 17. Came across this in my notes. It says, cease evil. Stop doing evil. Learn good. Rebuke oppressors. And I would add, that means like continuously, like holding them accountable. It's not a one-time thing. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. What's more American than that? And it's scripturally based. That's what I pledge my allegiance to, those principles. You guys know that we support the Voice of the Martyrs. They minister to the persecuted church, Christians around the world, the underground church. And this, I keep the little monthly newsletters. And I went through this weekend, I was just praying over the people in the Nuba Mountains in Sudan. They're getting bombings from the Muslim government in the north up in Sudan. And the Nuba Mountains are this region caught between South Sudan, which is now an independent country as of, 2012? Mostly Christian, South. There have been 30 years civil war fighting against the Muslims in the north. And actually, they're a new country. So there's this region that's still part of the northern part, Sudan, called the Nuba Mountains. A lot of Christians and Muslims, but a lot of Christians live in those areas. And the Muslim government of Sudan wants that place uninhabited, either move out or die. And they're bombing them almost daily, targeting hospitals, targeting schools, targeting residences, and targeting their crops so they don't have sustenance. So in all of the pictures, I see these people holding care packages, clear care packages. And inside of each one of those, you can see the label, and it's got an American flag on it. Not French flags, not Danish flags, not even the United Nations flags. They're gone. The Doctors Without Borders, boom, out of there. The United Nations, gone. Big government throwing billions of dollars at it. The more money you throw at government, the less efficient it is. The more cumbersome it is. The more expensive it is. The more ineffective it is. The International Red Cross, nowhere to be found. You've got a couple of doctors, a couple of makeshift tents that they're using to serve like 1.5 million people. They need medical supplies. Who's ministering to them? Christians. Specifically, American Christians. You know what those American Christians are doing? They're doing their best to cease evil, to learn good, to teach the people to learn good, and to rebuke oppressors, to defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow. That's what they're doing. Americans. With an American flag on every one of their care packages. A little tiny American flag. I'll pledge allegiance to that. Now, as I close or get ready to close here, there's you guys understand situation going on with Mrs. Schmidt and I. Last week I said I am down to my last option. I don't know what else to do, so I'm going to do something big. I'll just say it had the intended effect. Thank you for your prayers. Still a long ways from where we need to be or where we were, but it is progress. I got lots of letters, but one's jumped out at me. He says, I've been listening for a while. I really appreciate your show. He says, you mentioned that you were going to try a big bang approach for reconciliation and then you would be out of options. I don't know what your big bang approach is, but I just wanted to encourage you that if it does not have the intended effect, don't give up. Marriage is for life and God hates divorce. Okay. Appreciate that. I know that, and I'm not giving up. You're talking about somebody who's not into giving up. He said, this is not about giving up. This is about, both people have to not want to give up. And if one person absolutely refuses to give up and the other person isn't on that same level, there's not, you can say, I'm dying of cancer, but I'm not giving up. Well, you can just not give up right up to the day you die. He didn't give up. He's dead. There's some things that no matter, regardless of whether or not you give up, you have no control of the outcome. So when you say, oh my, you know, no correspondence, nothing, text occasionally. Will you meet with me? No. Can I buy you a cup of coffee and can we talk? No. Can I see you? No. I mean, there's like so many, you try exhaust everything. Well, this big thing was, let me finish this letter. He says, if you give the impression, talking about impacting listeners, if you give the impression that you can do everything possible up to a certain point and then claim a clear conscience about anything that happens if that line is crossed, then many listeners who have rocky marriages might look to your example and declare that they have done everything they could and walk away from their wives. Okay, I do not want to mislead you by thinking that, all right, I'm going to give this a shot, and if it doesn't work, my conscience is clear. No, what I mean is I, who have been pursuing my bride, have literally, I will not even go into everything that I've been through. I've been through the crucible, and I will talk about that at some point in the future, what a crucible is. There are some things I won't talk about. I've been through spiritual warfare like I have only heard of and have never, ever personally been involved in, that I will not talk about because it will make the hair stand up on your arms and the back of your neck. And everyone else would think I am crazy. So let me just tell you, well, I cannot tell you what I've been through. It is over the top. Okay, so I had to do something to break through the barrier. Now, I understand what I do influences a lot of people, thousands and thousands of people. That is intimidating. I will be held accountable for my words. There have been times when I have considered walking away from this because of the weight that I feel, knowing the impact that I have on people, but also the testimonies drive me to continue. But I do it with fear and trembling. I fear the Lord because I'm going to be standing in front of Him one day, and nobody's going to be able to intercede for me. Nobody's going to say, "Wait, hold on, God, He didn't really mean it. He's a good guy. He's..." You're not going to be able to say squat for me. It's going to be me and Him. And that scares the snot out of me. So I'm very cautious about what I say. But do not look at my example and think, you're just talking about somebody not impacting somebody that they could look at me and say, hey, he tried everything, and there was a certain point. His conscience is clear. I can relate to that. My conscience is clear, too. All right, don't walk away from your wife or your husband. Through this, I've gotten letters from women who said, oh, my gosh, I'm right there where you are, and I had actually considered leaving my husband. But your situation really jolted me and really made me start to reevaluate some things, and I'm taking a different approach. Yeah. Now, I don't know how many of you are sitting going, oh, wait, did my wife listen to that show? What? Okay, so don't go paranoid on me. Just love your wife. Okay. I had to do something really creative. This is not about giving up. I'm not giving up. I haven't given up. But I have to know that I've done everything and nothing was working. So I knew I had to do something extremely creative. I had to break through this barrier, this impenetrable wall. Everything I tried, everything I said, everything I did was not breaking through, having no impact. I had to do something over the top. I mean, like skydiving from a hot air balloon with a bouquet of flowers landing on the hood of her car just as she's pulling into work. I mean, something huge. But actually, something, what I did was something much more personal and intimate. You know how a couple who's been married for many years, they just have this intimacy with each other. They got the inside jokes that nobody gets but them. Little things that only can, they get that look, like when they're in public or they're at a party or some at church or something, and they just look at each other and they know each other's thoughts. You know, just a little, that look and just a little nudge, just the brushing of, you know, past each other. You can talk to each other without saying a word, right? That just real intimate. So I'm like, so I had to do something that's intimate, like something that, she confided in me when we first got married 15 years ago, 15 years ago. And anyway, after we got married, she confided in me. There was this time when she was growing up and she wanted a remote controlled Jeep for Christmas. That's all she wanted. She thought about it night and day. She just loved the thought of this little remote controlled Jeep. Well, her brother told her that he peaked and she was getting a remote controlled Jeep. And she was so excited about it, she could hardly sleep. And Christmas came and they opened up all the presents and there was no remote controlled Jeep. Her brother lied to her. He was just being mean. He knew how badly she wanted it, so he told her that's what she was getting, knowing the whole while that it wasn't true. She said that was the most disappointment, the most we're talking about Christmas memories. What's your best Christmas? What's your worst Christmas? Well, she said that was the worst, most disappointing Christmas ever. And I remembered that. So it was the next Christmas after that, I went to Radio Shack or someplace and I bought a little remote controlled Jeep. Now, when she opened that up, she laughed and she cried. She's like, that was so cool. So that was a personal thing that nobody else could have. It wouldn't have that impact that that had on her was just like, it was just, you know, really huge. I had to do something big, like a big remote controlled Jeep moment thing. Well, this was pretty over the top, and this was very, it was intimate and something she expressed in her heart and something that I just invalidated. And I knew it disappointed her. And so that's what I did. And it punched her right between the eyes. She could not have been more stunned if I would have swung a Mack truck at her and hit her right in the face with it. The whole everything was just like, boom, and it broke through the barrier in a way that she knew that I cared, that I wasn't giving her lip service, that it wasn't, you know. So anyway, no, not giving up. But if that hadn't worked, what I did, it was so massively, it was such a big deal. It was so impactful. It was on such a personal level, that it wouldn't worked on any other woman, but it was like the thing to work with her and for me and her. And, anyway, I just want to give you guys that update. And cause I know so many guys have been just, you know, praying. So anyway, there's progress being made and I'm very encouraged, but there's still a ton of work. We're not out of the safety. We're not in the safety zones, out of the danger zone, by any means. But, she is the love of my life and, she was custom built for me. And, so yeah, I'm not giving up. Definitely got you there, brother. Not giving up. So that's all. I don't know. Hopefully in the coming weeks, I'm hoping to make a big announcement that things have, you know, fully broken through and restoration is beginning to take place. But we're not there yet. I don't know when it will be. If it'll be days or weeks, God forbid months. But no, she's worth pursuing. Mrs. Schmidt rocks. She really does. She's not perfect. Neither one of us are, but just keep the prayers coming. And I'm going to keep working hard for you guys and keep working hard for her and her heart. And I refuse to allow the enemy to have a victory here. But I'm so glad that it worked, because if it didn't, I was out of options. I've got nothing left. I'm out of big ideas. I'm done. That was my last bullet. And it worked. So, whew, that's all. You guys have a blessed week. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. And my name is your name too. Good night.